Today's scripture lesson comes from Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you for a while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable. Okay, well, wait. Yeah. We talk about Ascension Sunday. And actually, Thursday was Ascension Day. Sunday, this Sunday, we'll celebrate Ascension Sunday. We also celebrate Memorial Day on Monday. I would be remiss if I didn't at this point thank all of those people who are not with us because they've given their lives for us. Memorial Day is a time where we can celebrate their sacrifice for us. On Veterans Day in November, we can celebrate all those who are still with us. But on Memorial Day, we celebrate those who gave the ultimate and paid the ultimate price. So we give thanks to them, whether it's Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine Corps, or Coast Guard. We just thank them for their service. As we look at Ascension Sunday, and what does it really mean to us? And, you know, it's the end of just before Pentecost, because as Jesus ascends, it's the last time he's with his disciples. And he's leaving them with words and teaching that he wants them to never forget. Now, he's told them so many times already what the scriptures are, what he came to do, the fact that he came to fulfill the scriptures, where the scriptures were, and the fact that he has fulfilled those scriptures. But even then, and as this scripture from Luke picks up, it's after he's met the men on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and the other gentlemen, and he reveals to them what it was that Jesus was supposed to do. He was going to suffer, that he was going to die, and that there would be a resurrection. All of those things, the disciples just didn't understand because it was just too unbelievable. It was too something that you had to suspend your belief to even consider it. Well, as he left those two in Emmaus, and they run back to the disciples, and they get into the disciples, and they show up, and they're telling all the other disciples what it is that they've seen, that they've seen Jesus, and they're in that upper room, and Jesus comes in among them again. And you would think that they wouldn't be as worried as they were anymore because they've seen him. But the verses 36 through 43 that lead up to this, Jesus appears to the disciples. He says, "Peace be with them," and he tells them, "Do you have something to eat?" They give him a piece of boiled fish, and he takes it and he eats it. Now, why does he do that? Again, in a solid, indisputable way, he demonstrates that he's not just some ghost. He's actually eating. Not only has he shown them the wounds in his hands and his side and his feet, but he's also eaten something. So he's solid. And then he goes on to this, because These are really the last words that he leaves with them, according to Luke. He says that the words that he gave them before, that he spoke to them before, were all out of the prophets of Moses and the law and the Psalms, all of that so that they would be fulfilled. But the key here in verse 45 is Jesus does something that he didn't do all those other times when he told them. In this scripture, he says he opens their minds so that they'll understand. Now, you know, it's a concept that, golly, you know, how many people have been in education and, you know, you work so diligently to convey a point. You think you've found every way to articulate the point so that they'll get it. You know, there's got to be, you know, if they don't understand, you just have to find another way to articulate it, another way to express it for them to understand it. Well, this is going to be kind of hard. The Savior of the earth has to suffer, die, and then there's going to be a resurrection. Okay, that's a bit of a big pill to swallow. But he's asked them to do that, and they have to do this on faith. So how does he explain to them? Well, Jesus has the ability, the power, to make them understand. You could, you know, the light goes on in their brains because he opens their minds to understand the scriptures. Now, you and I don't know of a teacher out there that can reach into a child's mind and click the light on so that they understand. And you know, I love my dad. And he had worked out in the timber a good part of his life. And the last 4 years of my 4 years of high school, I went out in the timber and I was working with him. Well, you know, cutting down a tree is dangerous. In the Black Hills of South Dakota, the trees are growing pretty close together in the forest. And one of the things you want to do is you want to go through and you want to clean it out, thin it out, make it so it's less danger of fire. And that was one of the things my dad did. Well, you sold the timber and made profit out of it. But you have to cut the tree down. It doesn't fall by itself. And it's not a very safe thing to do. But here I am, you know, as a freshman, as a 14-year-old, walking around timber. I've got a chainsaw, and my dad's showing me how to use it. And he would cut the tree down. Oh, that looks simple enough. And he'd fall it right between two trees. He'd say, you know, he's telling me all the time how this is supposed to go down. You know, you look at the wind, you look at the tree itself. How's it leaning? What's the ground like? And then you notch the tree on one side, and then you very carefully go on the other side and cut it slowly to a point where it starts to fall where you want it to, and then you cut the rest of it off. Boom, it's down there safe. Well, great. I got this. I can do this. Dad made me, I would trim all the trees he would cut down for almost an entire year. All I did was trim the trees. I watched him cut the trees down. And then the next year I went out and he actually said, all right, here are the trees. You know, a clearing of trees, or not a clearing of trees, but a copse of trees. And he says, pick out one of the trees that's within the criteria that we're going to cut down and you cut it. And he'd said, now what I would do is I would look over here and I'm looking at it and seeing it here. And then he would say, but you're the one going to cut the tree down, so you do it. So I'm like recalling all that my dad has taught me, and I give it my best shot at cutting that tree down. And as you start making that last cut and the tree starts to fall, there's a crucial moment in there where you can see that you do still have control, but you're not going to have control where that tree's going to fall for very long, and you have to cut it quickly. He could tell me all the time about that moment in that tree and when that tree needs to be cut off and when you lose control. But it wasn't until I actually had the chance to cut the tree down to when I really realized it, before it fully had an impact on me. And from then on, cutting down every single tree that I cut down for the next 3 years while I was out in the timber with my dad were easier and easier because I was more experienced. But because I had a better grasp and a better understanding of what it was that Dad had taught me about cutting trees down. Now, Jesus is talking, now he's not talking about cutting down trees. He's talking about building lives here, because he says it's written that the Messiah is to suffer, rise from the dead on the third day. Why? For repentance and forgiveness of sin. His whole purpose is to instill in the disciples an understanding of the purpose that they have in being. And that is that they're to proclaim repentance. You repent from your sin. In other words, you have to acknowledge you have been in sin. You repent of that sin. In other words, God, forgive me. And then you receive the forgiveness for the sins is to be proclaimed. So what the disciples are supposed to do is go out there and proclaim this. Now, to go out there and proclaim forgiveness, repentance and forgiveness, is one thing. But Jesus is empowering and putting on each one of these disciples an unmistakable understanding that they're going to have their whole lives, because they have seen something that no one else has been able to do, and they have a new understanding of what it is that Jesus has done. They're going to be able to go out there and witness to these things. Why? Because they're going to be able to say that the prophets have been fulfilled, because Jesus did these things, said these things. He was punished. He was crucified. He died, and he was born again. And he came and he revealed to us all of those prophecies and all of those predictions that had been made. He's fulfilled all of the scriptures. And why? So that we would understand that we need to repent. And that repentance is between us and the Lord. And that it's not necessarily on one day a year when the high priest goes into the temple and offers up a sin offering for the whole Jewish nation. But you and I personally can go to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. And he'll give it. You see, they were supposed to be witnesses to it. Now, you and I are supposed to be witnesses to it in the same vein. And you have to have that faith. You have to have that conviction. You have to have that passion and understanding that what Jesus did, he did all those things. He preached. He brought words that you and I can understand. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. He gave us the understanding that he came to fulfill the promises that were made in all of those writings, in the prophets. And then, when he leaves them with a blessing. Because as you read in the last part, he said, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. Another promise. He fulfills all the promises, and then he makes them a promise. He makes them a promise that the Holy Spirit is going to be sent by the Father, and that Holy Spirit is going to be there as an advocate, as a comforter, and a counselor. And when the world is such that they don't understand, give a thought to the coronavirus and all the things that are happening to the church and all the things that are happening to all our people right now. There's that anxiety. There's the fear. We should have hope and faith in all of that, because in our brains we have an understanding, but more importantly, in our hearts, we have faith. Dad taught me how to cut down a tree, and I didn't really understand how to do it until I actually did it. And then I really, really fully didn't understand until I cut maybe 75 or 100 of them down. Then it finally kind of dawned on me. But Jesus opened their minds so that they would understand. And then what he does is he says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. So stay there until you've been clothed from power on high. Power on high. The Holy Spirit. And then he leads them off to Bethany and blesses them. And while he's blessing them, he withdraws and is carried up to heaven. Now the disciples, they worship him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You know, the call to worship was about loud songs of joy. Psalm 47. they went back to Jerusalem with loud cries of joy, and they're continually in the temple blessing God. So, understanding the scriptures, it's not so much understanding the scriptures intellectually. I mean, I could figure out how that tree was supposed to be cut down. But it wasn't until I got into it, after my dad had explained it to me, that I understood. The scriptures were the same for most of the disciples. They didn't really fully understand it until Jesus opened their minds and revealed it to them. So you and I are centuries removed, generations removed from those disciples. But you know, because Jesus said that he was going to send upon you what my Father promised, we have today, 2,000 years after this, the same Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that as we call on the Holy Spirit, we don't know how to pray? Call on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach us how to pray. We don't understand the circumstances? Call on the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all one. So, understand the scriptures? Well, if you don't, you're in good company. There are a lot of people out there that don't fully understand all the scriptures, but know this. God loves you. God sent his own son to give up his life for you. He suffered and died for you. The third day he arose. And on this day, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Shalom. Amen.